Hello, welcome. I'm Aaron Winawiski. I'm so glad that you're tuning in this week, this Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. I know my mom is watching. She always does. So I want to say Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I hope you're having a really good weekend. And I can tell you some stories. I know she doesn't want me to tell a lot of stories, but if you know my mom, you know that she is an example of gentleness, which is the topic for today. She is someone who will come alongside and serve you, no matter who you are, no matter what the circumstances are. She will just humble herself and serve. And I wanna make sure that you know, though, that gentleness is not the same as softness, all right? Just because she's gentle doesn't mean that she's not tough. This is a woman who has climbed from the rim of the Grand Canyon down to the river and back up again in one day. Now, she wouldn't want me to tell you the story about when I was a teenager and I was getting to the point that I was taller than her. And in an argument, I like got up in her face and she slapped me. She just took me down to where I needed to be. And she wouldn't want me to tell you that story, so I'm not going to. You know, out of respect for her, I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna bring that whole thing up. It's good to see you guys who are just catching up, who are tuning in. We're gonna put something in the comments section. We've got this worksheet. We'll put a link to it. That's to help you reflect on and apply and discuss the message that you're hearing from God. This isn't just about learning more or feeling good. We want everybody to hear from God, to learn from God, not just from me, from God, and to apply what he's teaching you. So that's what this worksheet is designed to do. You can fill it out on a device electronically, or you can print it off and take notes on it. If you're sitting there with your family, like I know a lot of families are, this is a good sheet to have in front of your kids that they can doodle on, write questions. It has a place for my notes, questions that I have. What will I do in response to God's teaching? Who will I share it with? Things to pray about. What am I grateful for? And what's stressing me out? So go ahead and use these. If you're just tuning in and you're new to New Day, we're going to have something come up in the comments that says New to New Day. If you would just simply like that comment, that would help us know that you are here. It would be a huge encouragement to me to know that you're checking things out, checking out a weekend teaching for the first time. And it'd give us an opportunity to just send you a quick message, and we're not going to do anything weird with that. So welcome to everybody who's continuing to tune in. If you're listening to the audio or you're watching a recording, you can probably jump to about 5 minutes in, and we'll have everything ready to go. Let's spend the next moment here in prayer together. God, as we're some of us gathering with our own families in our homes, and some of us listen to this alone, I pray that you'd give us a sense of unity, a sense of family as we look into your word together. And as we hear your word, I pray that you'd give us a sense of how you want us to obey it, and you'd give us the courage to do that. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, yes, today is about gentleness. It's one of the aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. And on this Mother's Day, if we just go back and think about the different facets of the fruit of the Spirit from Galatians chapter 5, we can see a lot of those in some of the moms that we know in our lives. There's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. 9 of these facets of the fruit of the Spirit. I hope you're starting to remember those things. And I hope that during these weeks, you've been applying them. I mean, what an amazing time in history to be tested in these things and to let them grow in us. Rather than being afraid, have a perfect love that casts out fear. Rather than feeling like everything's in chaos, give all your worries to God, give him gratitude, and find that he gives you a peace that goes beyond anything that could be understood. It's a perfect time for this, and it's a perfect time to learn about gentleness. Gentleness is not softness, it's not weakness. Gentleness, in fact, is power. It's a different kind of power than we're used to, though, because often when we think of power, we think of power over things. We think of control of things. And what gentleness is it's a power that comes under. And gentleness is a power that comes alongside and that helps. It cooperates with others. Gentleness is cooperative power for support rather than competitive power for control. Let me say that again. Gentleness is cooperative power for support rather than competitive power for control. When I think of gentleness, sometimes I think about anger. Where it's Mother's Day, I think about parenting, and I'll tell you, I was a much, much better parent before I had kids. Are you with me? You know what I'm saying? Like, you knew how you were gonna do things before you had kids. Even some of you kids who are sitting out there right now, you're sitting there with your parents, and have you ever had a time where you said, or even thought to yourself, when I have kids, I'm gonna do it this way, not the way they're doing it. What they're doing is silly, crazy, wrong. I mean, you don't say all that out loud, but don't you feel like that sometimes? Now, and sometimes, yes, parents aren't perfect. And sometimes parents are actually doing a terrible job. They are not rooted in how God has instructed parents to operate. And there needs to be correction there. Often, though, parents are doing the best they can, and it's just difficult. It's a tough job. I had a much better plan for parenting before I had kids. It's like Mike Tyson said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. There was a time in my parenting, actually, where I was standing over one of my kids who was just standing in front of me, and I was just looking down, and just a nice fatherly moment. And then out of the blue, he decides it's the right thing to do, just right there, to test his vertical leap and to jump as hard as he can, and bop me in the chin, chipped multiple teeth. Everyone has a plan until you get punched in the face. Like, how am I not supposed to get angry when this kind of stuff is going on? Now, anger isn't always bad. What my journey in parenting did is it took me into an exploration of scripture, looking at, okay, why am I so angry? What should I be doing better? And God is a heavenly Father, so should I be able to look at his example and learn from his example? And as I read scripture, I saw, okay, God is angry a lot. Now he is also gentle a lot. What I didn't find is an example of just not being angry at all. God is angry at the right things, though. Racial injustice in our country is something that we can get angry about. See, anger is a feeling that God has given us that prepares us for a fight. The question is, are you fighting the right things? If you're getting angry at something that's worth fighting for or fighting against, then that's one thing. To become angry in parenting and then to lash out in anger, well, I shouldn't be fighting against my kids. I should have a cooperative power in supporting them. I should be working with them, alongside them, using my power to lift them up rather than using my power to try to control them. In fact, as I was looking into scripture as a parent and trying to learn about anger and try to understand what I didn't know how to name at that time, was growing more gentleness in how I operated. I ran across a passage of scripture in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, that said, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up in the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord." Imagine coming across that passage when I'm on a journey to try to figure out how to have my kids make me less angry. And it says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger." I imagine a conversation with God. And maybe I had this mentally, or maybe it's just something that he's leading me through right now, but maybe you've had this kind of conversation with God where I go, "God, what do you mean? Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. They are the ones provoking me." Oh, really?" says God. "Tell me about that." "I have a plan. I tell them what to do, and they don't do it. And I know things that they shouldn't do, and they just keep doing it no matter how often I tell them." Okay, I guess I could imagine what that would be like as a father. But that's not all. They're also constantly ruining my stuff. I have good things. I worked hard to get them, and they don't treat them with any sort of respect or value, and I provide things, and they just ruin stuff." Oh, so they also ruin things, and they're not grateful for what they have. But that's not all. They also, when we're out in public, they say things and do things that embarrass me all the time. I didn't raise them like that. And I just know that they're saying mean things about me to their friends, even though all I've ever done is try to give them what they need in order to be safe and to be happy. All I've ever done is to try to do right by them. "I see," says God. "Are you done?" "Yeah." "Okay, well, let's pretend that you, my child, would act like that towards me, your heavenly father. Let's pretend that there would be times where you would be disobedient, where you would know the right thing to do and would not do that, where you would know what's wrong and you would do that anyway, and persistently, consistently continue along those paths. Let's pretend that there would be times where you would be ungrateful about things that I have provided. Let's pretend that there are times where, although you wear the label of Christian, or people know you to be someone who reads my word, you don't act like it and you embarrass me. Let's pretend that that happens. What would you want me to do about that?" Well, I mean, God, I know I'm not perfect. I would hope that you know I'm not perfect and that you would be patient with me, that you would meet me where I am and just help me take a next step. I mean, I want to be more honoring to you. I want to be more obedient to you, even though I don't always act like it. Well, as God, I can make you obey me. Sometimes I wish you would. But if I did make you obey me, that wouldn't be love, would it? No, I suppose not. So, what I will do is I will meet you where you are. I will train and instruct you. I will discipline you, which means teach, and you will be my disciple. You will learn along the way. Because how do you feel if someone tries to make you do something? Well, I feel helpless. I feel disrespected. I feel angry. Right. If I made you do something, you would feel angry. If I came alongside you, though, and trained and instructed you, meeting you where you are, that would be more loving. That's what God wants from us. That's his instruction to me as a father. Don't provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Don't provoke your children to anger. I had it backward. I thought it was all about children provoking me to anger. And what I had to realize was I needed a greater measure of gentleness in my life. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example of gentleness. Now, he was not soft. He was not a pushover. He did not lose his identity. And yet, what he says is that he is gentle. Matthew chapter 11, starting at verse 28, Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens." Oh my goodness, does anybody feel like that right now? Weary, carrying a heavy burden. He says, "I will give you rest." He says, "Take my yoke upon you." A yoke would be what you put on oxen in order to attach them to a plow. Put my yoke on you. Let me teach you. Listen to this, because I am humble and gentle at heart. Jesus says, "I am gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." Some of us are looking for a lighter burden right now. Some of us are looking for a gentleness, and that's what God offers us. Yes, he gets angry about injustice and about sin, and yet he still meets us where we are and says, "Let me train and instruct you. Let's cooperate. Let me put cooperative power under you to support you in moving forward and discovering who you are." Last week, we imagined ourselves at the Last Supper when we shared communion together. And if we go back to that setting, before they actually ate the meal, Jesus sat down with the disciples. They're sitting around a table. You imagine the scene. And the Apostle Luke tells us that there was an argument happening between the disciples about who would be the greatest in the kingdom of God, who's going to be the best, who's going to have the higher level of power. And in the midst of that, in the context, the Apostle John tells us this in John 13:3, Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So, in the midst of this discussion happening about who's the greatest, Jesus comes to this full realization that the Father has given him authority over everything. He has ultimate power. He came from God. He's going to God, and right now he's in the middle of it. And sitting around him, he's got a guy who has already put in place a plan to betray him. He's already set everything up in order to earn a few coins to betray Jesus. And he's got a guy next to him who he knows is going to deny him. They're arguing about who has the greatest power. This is a perfect opportunity for Jesus to lecture them, to shout at them, for him to be angry at how far off the mark they are, how much they're missing what's happening here. And he's come from heaven. He's going to heaven. What does he have to lose by really letting these guys have it at this point? And yet that's not what he does at all. In John chapter 13, starting in verse 4, he got up from the table. He took off his robe. He wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that he had around his waist. This was the job of a servant. At this time in history and in this place, when you went to somebody's home, if they had the money to have a servant, that servant would take a water basin like this as you entered the home and would clean off the dirt and the mud that's caked on feet that have been walking through dusty streets with sandals. And they'd wash your feet as you came into the home. If you didn't have a servant, then the person who had given the invitation, the person who was the host, might take on that role. And yet here we have disciples with dirty feet already sitting around the table. None of them apparently saw that it was their job to wash the other's feet. They're too busy thinking about their plans and having control. And so in this moment, where Jesus could have been thinking about where he came from and where he was going, he takes a moment to be so present that he thinks about and invests in the relationship with these broken people. Peter argues with him and says, "You're not going to wash my feet, Jesus." Can you imagine telling Jesus what he's not going to do? He has all authority over everything. And Peter says, "No, you're not." And Jesus says, "No, this is what I have to do." And Peter says, "Well, if you're going to do that, then you better wash all of me." He's trying to tell Jesus how to do his job. Jesus resists just giving in to Peter's plan. Jesus has a plan. He's humble. He's gentle. He's not soft. He's not a pushover. We see in John 13, after washing their feet, all the disciples' feet. I mean, imagine that moment. Imagine the time that it took and how uncomfortable that must have been for people who were arguing about power to be served by their master in this way. He put on the robe again. He sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because that's what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." That's gentleness. It's having the power to be able to control something, to influence or to manipulate or to force something, and instead to see the relationship and say, "Let me meet you where you are. Let me serve you. Let me show you that power looks different than what you thought." Power in the kingdom of God is about power to come under, to lift up, to help out. Not what they were arguing about, power over. Moms, good godly moms, are a wonderful example of this. They set an amazing example of serving, even though there isn't a clear reward for what they're doing, even though sometimes people aren't at all grateful for what they're doing, they still acknowledge that they have something to offer and they're going to keep offering it. Their reward isn't from gratitude. Their reward isn't from controlled behavior. They're doing it because they have a spirit of gentleness that we all need. It's not just for parents, it's not just for moms. This is something that our whole society needs. You see people clamoring for control, just trying to get power over other people, power over ideas. We are to look different. We are to operate in gentleness. And sometimes we think, well, wait, but if I put myself in a posture of gentleness and in a posture of being a servant, of meeting people where they are and putting power under, then that puts me at risk. Then I might lose my identity. I might be taken advantage of. Really, what is your identity? Think about that. Where does it come from? If someone told you that being a disciple of Jesus is a nice add-on to your identity, they did not explain discipleship well at all. The gospel, the good news of Jesus, is that he came from God to earth to give his life for humanity, messed up, disobedient humanity, like bratty kids, so often is how we are to our Heavenly Father. And yet, in the midst of that, he came and died on the cross. He gave his life so that we could be in relationship with God, so that we could be supported by God, so that he could meet us where we are and lead us to a better place. He gave his life for us. Our response is to give our life for him. Rather than clamoring for power and demanding that you have a right to this and a right to that, we're in a position to humbly say, I am yours, Lord. Lead as you will. And if Jesus says, take a towel, wrap it around your waist, and serve somebody who doesn't deserve it, then you do that. Not to have some sort of payback for it, but because that's what he said to do. So in our workplaces, in our households, in our schools, in our interactions with other people, as you are a disciple of Christ who has given yourself over to him, and if you haven't done that, this might not be a good sales pitch for it, but I'm telling you, this is the best life. If you're sitting there going, I'm not sure I want to add that onto my identity, if you're at a point where you're ready to die to your old self, that's someone who's ready to be a disciple. So if you're ready for that, if you're ready to follow Jesus, it is going to do better things in your household. It's going to do better things in your workplace, better things in your neighborhood, better things for society when we, instead of clamoring for a power over, a power to control and manipulate, if we're taking from God a power that is cooperative in order to support others, we're going to change our households. We're going to change our workplaces. We're going to change our world for the better. This is the call of discipleship. So this week, as we continue in this strange pandemic environment, it's my prayer for you that you would continue to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit, that you would continue to let him grow in you the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And next week, tune in as we talk about self-control. Self-control that comes from God. Say thank you to a mom today, whether it's your own or someone else's. Go in peace. And I look forward to being with you next week.